amazing that last week I listened to Brother Jake. I didn't get to listen to him when I wanted to, but the next morning I got to listen to what I wanted to, and he talked about Elijah and calling fire down, and listened to that, and thank Brother Jake for that word that he brought. Thank God for that, straight from the Word of God, and I thank him for that. But as we come tonight, you've got your paper, so you'll see where we'll be. I want to read tonight Revelation 11, 3 through 13, and I want to talk about the two witnesses that's going to be. Now, I have pinned down two witnesses. Now, this is my belief on who the two witnesses are. This is where, as I study the Word of God, this is what I believe. Not every commentary is going to believe these are going to be the two. Some's going to believe it's going to be Enoch. Some believe it's going to be other people. But hey, they can believe what they want. I'm just going with what I believe in the Bible, okay? The Bible doesn't clearly say who these two witnesses are, but as you read Scripture and you study Scripture and you understand it, you'll see exactly who these two witnesses are. So, tonight, Revelation chapter number 11, verse number 3, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. And the Bible says, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. And these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoured their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see the dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them. They'll make merry, and they shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them." Woo, glory! "And they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. In the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly." Father, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for the witnesses tonight that have stood, and Lord God, that has proclaimed your word. Lord, all over this room tonight, there's been many, many, many prayer requests. Lord, I'd pray tonight that you would meet the needs of all the prayer requests. Every name that's been mentioned, Lord, tonight, that's not been held back, but that's been sent forth. Lord, you've heard it tonight. The throne room of heaven has heard them prayer requests. And Lord, I'd pray you touch them real good tonight. Lord, I'd pray tonight that you'd be with them. Lord, I pray tonight you have your will and way. Lord, I pray tonight you guard my throat, guard my thoughts. I pray tonight this study would touch somebody real good tonight, Father. Whoever that witness is I'm talking to tonight, I may be going through a few things here. Lord, it's going to be worth it all over yonder. Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you. I glorify your name. I thank you tonight for what you do. I thank you that you set the captive free. I ask it tonight in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Tonight, as we come to Revelation chapter number 11 and verse 3 through 13, we see he's talking about the two witnesses here. That's going to be, these two witnesses will prophesy for 1,260 days. For 1,260 days, they will be heard, they will be hated, and at the end, they will be martyred for being a witness of Jesus Christ. And tonight, can I say to you, when you are a true witness for Jesus Christ, now I'm not talking about a lukewarm Christian. I'm not talking about somebody that is a Christian on Sunday and live like they won't do through the week. I'm talking about somebody that is sold out for Jesus Christ. You will be heard. People are going to hear you, and you will be hated. Not everybody's going to like what you say. There's been times that I've written out a message, and I come to this pulpit, and I think when I sit down in this pulpit, man, they're going. And in my mind, I say there's going to be some people that's not going to like this message. There's going to be some husbands that's not going to like this message. There's going to be some wives that's not going to like this message. They're going to be some kids that's not going to like this message, but when God gives you that message and he tells you to go share it, that's what you've got to do. And when these two witnesses went and they shared the message, all they shared was the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that they needed to repent and needed to get right. That's what he told them. It's the same word as we have today. But who? The question here is, and I want to share with you tonight, who are these witnesses tonight, and what do they have on their life? Tonight, can I say to you that I believe in the Word of God tonight, it teaches us and it points us to the first witness tonight. One of these witnesses would be Elijah. One of these witnesses that would be here would be Elijah. And you say, preacher, how do you get that? And it's important to Elijah tonight. This is very important on this as we get to Revelation 11. This is very important. This is a very needful to know. I believe it's pointing to Elijah, number one, because the Bible says that Elijah will appear before the great and terrible day of the Lord. In Malachi 4:5, the Bible says, behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. I believe that tonight, that one of these witnesses tonight is Elijah. You say, how do you get that tonight? Look with me in verse number 5, if you will. And the Bible says, and if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth. I know that Elijah had called fire down from heaven on Mount Carmel. Brother Jake preached it last week, not knowing where I'd be going this week, but it lined right up. And you say, preacher, do you believe it was literally fire that he called down from heaven? I truly believe that that man of God, he called fire down from heaven. Hey, fire fell and it burned up that altar there. It burned it up. It took care of business. And can I say to you tonight, when the fire of God falls in a local body church, it'll clean up the people that's inside of the building. When that fire of God falls, I'm not talking about a regular Sunday night or Wednesday. I'm talking about when the fire of God falls and it gets right there amongst everybody. I'm talking about and it gets sticky all on you. It'll clean up what it needs to clean up. And it says tonight in verse number 5 that out of their mouth proceeded fire. And Elijah called fire down from heaven on Mount Carmel. And 1 Kings 18 in verse number 38, the Bible says, then the fire of the Lord fell. The fire of the Lord fell when Elijah called it down, and it consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Friends, tonight, can I say to you that Elijah, I will believe, will be one of these witnesses that will come back and witness for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One of the greatest prophets ever to live was Elijah. Amen. I see tonight Elijah will appear. Elijah had called fire down. What makes us think this tonight? But thirdly tonight, Elijah is one that stopped the rain for 3.5 years. Do you remember that? For 3.5 years it did not rain. Elijah would not. He called on God and he said, I want you to stop this rain. And you know what God did there? He stopped the rain. And for 3.5 years, it didn't rain. But you know what happened there? It wasn't but a little while. Elijah said, hey, go out and you'll see the rain. It's a coming after 3.5 years. They went out and they didn't see nothing. He said, go out again. And as they went out again, they seen a cloud coming up in the sky. And he said, go look and see what it is. And he said, it looked like a hand coming. Can I say to you tonight, that was the hand of God. And it was going to pour out rain. Hey, can I say to you tonight, rain is a picture of the Holy Spirit tonight. And I thank God tonight when he pours the rain out on this place, don't you? I thank God for that tonight. Elijah stopped the rain for 3.5 years. And look what the Bible says in verse number 6 of your text. He says, these have the power to shut heaven up that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. The days that they prophesied, they had the power to stop rain from coming down. Let me give you this tonight. Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 25, the Bible says, but I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the day of Elias or Elijah when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months and with great famine was throughout all the land. So Elijah, I believe, is one of these prophets that is talked about here. One, because the Bible says he's going to appear. Two, because he called fire down. Three, because it says he stopped rain, and I believe he did that. But also, number 4, Elijah appeared with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Do you remember that? How important Elijah was? He was there on the day of Mount of Transfiguration. The Bible says in Matthew 17:3, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Talking with who? Talking with Jesus. So I see, number one, I believe the first one is pointing to Elijah. I believe he's pointing to Elijah will be one of them prophets. Number two, I believe the second one, according to the Word of God and the study that I've done, I believe the second one is pointing to Moses. I believe the first one is pointing to Elijah, but I believe the second is pointing to Moses. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 6. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and they had power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Moses had the power to smite the earth with plagues. You look in your Bible to Exodus 7 and verse number 12. But Moses also had the power by God to turn water into blood. Exodus chapter number 7 and verse number 20. So I see these two prophets, and I see and also how their hand was all in this. But look in the third thing, Moses also appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration. So we have verse 6, we see where Moses is there. We see where Elijah, we see where Moses, and that they're the great witness for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, why is these two? If you'll turn your page there and you'll look, because and you say this tonight, I want you to get this. You say, yeah, but Moses died. And Moses died. Yes, he did die. Yes, he did die. But you know what God did? He hid that body of Moses. He would not let Satan have that body. And you say, preacher, why was the importance of that? I believe the importance to not let Satan have that body is because he's going to use him. Amen? He's going to use him. Folks, tonight, don't give Satan your body because he's going to use you. Well, glory. Do not give Satan a chance with your body, your mind, your soul, your spirit, because God's going to use you. He said, oh God, it's just a body. I'm going to get a new one. Listen to me tonight. Treat your body as a temple tonight. God honors that tonight. You are a temple of God tonight. Look what he says here in Jude 1:9. Moses' body was fought over for a reason, and I believe that reason was is because God's going to use him. Even after you die, you know what? God's still going to use you. After you're dead and gone, God's still going to use you. You don't believe me this? There's people in this church right now you can think about that's done dead and gone that's touched your life in a mighty way. That's why the judgment's not right now, because they can't be judged right now. Because even after you die, there's things going on. There's things you've said. There's things you've done. There's things that's going on that you're still being accountable for, that you're still being held accountable for. You say, oh no, when it's died, it's over. Oh no, friend, when you die, it ain't over. It ain't over. Ever how you raised your kids, ever what you left behind, whatever you got going on, you're going to be accountable to that. That generation dies out. He said, do you believe that, preacher? Oh, yes. Like old Hitler, you know, all these things that Hitler done, all these bad things that he done, that went on for years, even after he died. Genocide, all these things that are going on, all these bad things that are going on, it's just still racking up on him. Listen to me. If you lead somebody to Christ Jesus, say, for instance, I led somebody to Christ Jesus in this place. I led them to Christ Jesus. And that person goes at least 3 to Christ Jesus. And that person, they led at least 10 to Christ Jesus. It all goes back to you being faithful, leading somebody to Christ Jesus. We're not doing it for a pat on the back. We're not doing it for reward. But God don't let nothing go unrewarded. He rewards that. So what you're sowing now, he said, don't sow to things that are temporal, but sow to things that are not temporal. Sow to things outside of this world. So when you sow into something, listen to me, now, get this tonight. When you sow into something that's of God, it lasts for eternity. It lasts for eternity. And there is people, I want you to know, that whoever the founder of this church was, whoever you go back, look on the roll, look on whatever, what they did, their legacy is still going on. They have still stood true. They've stood the test of time. And we're just going off what they've done. We're going off what they've done. We're just following them, following their steps, following Jesus Christ. They follow Jesus. We follow Jesus. So here comes Moses and Jude in the book of Jude. And you right here in the book of Jude where it stood. And it's talking about when they're fighting over the body of Moses. Why didn't God just give the body back? Because it's his. Right? He said, no, it's my body. Oh, no, it's his. It's his. Everything you got is his. You don't own nothing. You ain't got nothing. You ain't got nothing. Everything you got's his. You say, well, I ain't. And a lot of people fight over what they got when they die. There ain't nothing to fight over because it ain't yours anyway. It's his. Look with me here tonight. I may be running a rabbit right there. Let me move on right here. Jude chapter number 1 and verse number 9. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, and he durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebukes thee. So we see that second one would be Moses. So we see also in Malachi 4:4, remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Moses is a picture of the law. For God to show up, he shows up by the picture of the law. When you're lost and in an undone condition, and you're lost and you need to be saved, the first thing shows you that you're lost is the law. Is the law. If you kept the whole law, you don't need to be saved. Why do we need to be saved? Because we can't keep the law. Because if you broke one, you broke them all. And everybody in this room's broke one, so they need to be saved. So you have the law. And then Elijah is the picture of the prophets. What did Elijah bring? He brought fire. He brought rain. He brought the goodness of God. He brought the grace of God. He brought what God needs. So when I look at the law, I see I can't fulfill it. But when I look at Christ Jesus and what he did on the cross of Calvary, I see clearly and plainly that that's my hope. That's my peace. That's my rest. That's what they're witnessing about here. So we see here tonight, we see the people of the witnesses. We believe it be Elijah and Moses. But let's look at the persecution of the witnesses. As they were witnessing, they became persecuted. Look with me in verse 7 through 10. And when they shall have finished their testimony, when they have finished their testimony, there is not a man or woman of God. Listen to this tonight. Get this if you don't get nothing else. There's not a woman or a man of God tonight. Can't nothing happen to you when you're doing the will of God. Bad things can come. Circumstances can come. But your life is preserved. Their life could not be taken until God was done with what they had them to do. You're in here tonight and you say, preacher, well, what? You're not going to leave this walk. If you're a child of God tonight, you're walking in his will, you're doing what he's called, things are going to come against you. But listen to me now. You keep on serving him. He's going to use you and you will not leave here until your work is done. He said, oh, they left way too early. Their work was done. He's the creator. He is the creator of the universe. Look what he said here. And when they shall have finished their testimony, when they were finished doing what he had called them to do, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Let me give you this tonight. I believe that Elijah and Moses, I believe they will be killed and will lie in the street, as the Bible says, of the city for 3.5 days for all to see. For all to see. 3.5 days. Can you imagine Alabama sunshine where we live? Can you imagine somebody laying out there today? Somebody died today out here, right here on this concrete. And then you come by tomorrow and there they are again, buzzards up on the poles out here. I'm talking about buzzards flying around. They done got stinking. Their carcass done got stinking. You know what? Anything lays there very long draws a crowd. Can I get an amen? Hey, it ain't got to be good to draw a crowd. Even dead things draw a crowd. Amen? Can you imagine? Listen to this one. God said, I'm going to show you how powerful I am. And tonight, if you think you're dead, he's going to show you how powerful he really is and how he can bring you back. For 3.5 days, they're going to lay out there. They're going to lay in the streets. People are going to walk by. They're going to mock at them. They're going to look at them. And they're going to do all these things. And they're going to be decaying. They're going to be rotting. Things are going to be eating on them. Can you imagine the coyotes that's going to be getting a hold of? Can you imagine all these things? All the maggots. Everything's coming. They said, preacher, that's nasty. Can you? They're dead. They're not asleep. They're dead. They are dead in the street for 3.5 days. People has walked by. Everybody has seen it. Get this tonight. And the internet will make it possible for all to see it. Oh, everybody's going to witness this. Look in verse number 9, if you will. And the people of all kindreds and tongues and nations shall see. It's lining up. You can do something in Egypt right now. We can watch it here. Brother Jake can pull it up and put it on the screen right now. We want to on YouTube. We can watch it. There's live cams everywhere. You don't even have to go to the beach. You can sit home and watch people on the beach. You can watch Gatlinburg. You can watch all over the world. You don't have to be there. This is prophesying that it's coming and it's coming soon. And listen to this tonight. The internet will make it possible for all these to see it. They're going to watch these people lay there for 3.5 days. And can you imagine people going to be glued into the TV? Do you remember when 9/11 happened? How many hours did you watch TV? Unless you had your head in the sand, I watched it a pretty good bit. I watched it a pretty good bit. Anything dramatic, people watches. Anything gross, and they're going to watch it. It's going to draw them. You're going to feed on it. And for 3.5 days, they're going to lay there, and the internet's going to make it possible for everybody to see it. For 3.5 days. He says, is the internet bad? No, it's good. What? Oh, yeah, it's good. God's going to use it for his glory. He's going to use it for His glory. Right now it may not be good, but He's going to use it for His glory one day. Everybody's going to see what's going on. Everybody's going to see. People will be having a party over them. Party over them. Read your Bible right here. Look at this in verse 10. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them two prophets that are dead. They're going to be having a heyday. They're going to be having a merry Christmas without Christ. It's pretty crazy. Read your Bible. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry. They're going to make merry and shall send gifts one to another. They're going to send each other gifts because somebody's died. Because two people laying in the streets and they're going to see it and they're happy that they're dead. Because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. They're happy that they're dead because they're tired of hearing about Jesus. There's folks want you dead because they're tired of hearing about Jesus if you're being the witness that you're supposed to be. Now, if you don't never mention His name, the world ain't got a problem with you. If you never mention His name, you never do nothing. You just, hey, I'm gonna keep my mouth shut. I'm going to get in my corner. I'm not going to say nothing. I'm just going to bide my time, and I'm going to heaven. You ain't got a problem. There ain't nobody against you. You living the life, son. You living it up, having a good old time. But you open your mouth one time about Jesus. You stand against somebody one time and they think it's right, but the Bible says it wrong, and you stand against them. Son, I'm telling you what, they bring everybody against you when they come against you. He said, preacher, how do you know? Been there, done that, amen? But I'm going to stand with the book because the book's right. If it was wrong then, it's wrong now. You got to stand with this book. They were glad that they were dead. They was having a party because they were dead. Listen to this. They were sending gifts and having a great time because they were dead. But I thank God that ain't the end of the story. Amen. Woo, glory. Thank God it ain't the story. We see the people. We see the persecution. But we see the power. The power that the Spirit of God has on these two witnesses. I don't know about you, but this excites me. I couldn't see nothing but the plan of salvation all in this. Did you know before you got saved you were dead in your sins and trespasses? You were dead. You were rotten. You were stinking. You was of no value. You stunk. No buzzard done been eating on you. He said, oh no, Ephesians 2, just go read it. You were dead in your trespasses and sin. Well, I wasn't as bad as so-and-so. We was all the same. We all stunk just as bad. The child molester stunk just as bad as the one ain't never done nothing, just sitting on a pew. Never drunk a beer, never done dope, never molested a kid, never committed adultery, never been divorced, never done this. You just as bad. Everybody just as bad. Sin, sin. Sin is sin. And we all stunk. Y'all know what I'm talking about, stinking. You stunk. But then Jesus shows up. Then Jesus shows up. Then Jesus shows up. Tonight, if your life stinks, just let Jesus show up. If your life stinks, just let Jesus show up. If you don't like what's going on in your life, just let Jesus show up. When He shows up, it don't stay dead no longer. It comes alive. It comes alive. Oh, glory. Let me show you what I seen when God showed me. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them. If you got your notes, the Spirit enters them. You will never be alive unless the Spirit enters. You can say the prayer, the sinner's prayer, 100 times. If the Spirit ain't in it, it ain't real. You can be baptized 750. The Spirit ain't in it, it wasn't real. Do what you want to. Cry your eyes out all you want to cry. But if the Spirit ain't in it, it ain't real. I know the difference. How do you know, preacher? I've been there. When I wanted that anointing, I wanted God to move on me again like He had before. It took time. It takes time. It takes time. Begging and pleading. God, please. 3.5 days they laid there dead. And then God shows up. God Himself in spirit form shows up. God Himself in the spirit form shows up. Folks, that night I got saved. God in the spirit form showed up and saved my soul. He entered in me, made me different, made change me, set me free. Not who I used to be. Saved. The Spirit enters them. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. You know how they can come alive? Because He's done it in Jesus. Sister Brittany, it's alive. It's alive. That's why this spot is still wet. It would behoove you tonight to come look at this wet spot where that young lady sat here and cried her eyes out. It would behoove you to get up here and see this, because if you've never let one of these, you're in trouble. It behoove you tonight to see the wet spot in the carpet that still ain't dried up. I don't know what's going on in her life, but God does. And the Spirit, oh, wonder what's wrong with her. It ain't none of your business. Ain't none of my business. Ain't none of my business. But I know God met her there. Ain't no way that wet spot's there without God meeting you there. Said in the Spirit entered. Spirit didn't get on them. Brother Bradley, Spirit didn't get on them. They weren't speaking in tongues. They weren't doing it. Spirit didn't get on them. Said the Spirit entered them. I'm asking you a question now. Has the Spirit ever entered you? Has Spirit ever entered you? I'm not talking about a fuzzy feeling. I'm not talking about goosebumps, chill bumps. None of that. That don't mean the Spirit entered. That don't mean the Spirit entered. Chill bumps, none of that means Spirit entered. None of that. Satan's gave me chills before. Satan's gave me chill bumps before. None of that means that the Spirit's entered. Let me tell you what means the Spirit's entered. You get up. You don't stay down no more. You up. You ain't who you used to be. I might have been dead, but I'm alive now. I might have been eat on, but I'm alive now. I might have stunk one time, but I'm alive now. I'm alive because the Spirit's entered me. Said, and the Spirit entered. The Spirit entered. Tonight, if the Spirit's not entered you, you need Him to enter you tonight. That Spirit needs to enter because you're going to be just dead if He don't enter. Let me show you this tonight. I can tell we come for a Bible study. The Spirit, no, I'm sorry. I'll get over this in a minute. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. What does that mean? He's going to quicken. He's going to bring you up. He's going to raise you up. He's going to raise you up. I see the Spirit entered in verse number 11. I see the Spirit elevates you in verse number 11. I've never seen God save anybody and left them on bottom. And I'm not talking about money. I care less about money. If that's what you think you got, if you think you got money and you got something, you ain't got nothing. That stuff will burn quick. You put a match to it and see how fast it goes. You bragging on your 401k, that ain't going to do you a bit of good, son. It won't do you a bit of good when you're laying in that casket. Casket's coming. Grave's coming. Amen. Rapture's coming. Everybody in this room probably is going to have a 6-foot grave somewhere. Your money ain't going to do you no bit of good. It's that the Spirit has entered and it's elevated you. It's picked you up. Nothing else can do that. Nothing else can do what the Spirit does. Look at this. The Spirit elevated them. They was able to stand. Ephesians 2:6, and hath raised us up together. He raised them up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He said, that ain't got nothing to do with Revelation. What did He tell them to do? He said, come on up here. Look what He said in the Bible. Look in your Bible here. He said this, and God entered into them, and they stood up on their feet, and great fear fell upon them and saw them, and they heard a voice say, come up hither. Make us come up and sit in heavenly places. Brought us up and put us in heavenly places. I see that the Spirit enters them, the Spirit elevates them, and the Spirit allows their exit. You will not exit this life the way you want to exit if the Spirit ain't in you. You won't. Without the Spirit, they're dead. They're just dead. But with the Spirit, they have an exit plan. Look what He says here. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud. In their enemies, get that. Get that. And their enemies beheld them. The only way you and I can be a true witness for Jesus Christ is by the Spirit of God. God knew I was going to preach this tonight. I'll share this with you. Last night at that rehab, there was men there, four men, five men, maybe, I don't know. But they couldn't buy their way to heaven. By the way, nobody can. They had nothing. Man, I'm telling you, they have nothing. They're in a sanctuary. They moved the pews back. They got pallets that you haul stuff on, sitting there, nailed together, screwed together, got this cots laid on top. And, man, you smell supper cooking because they're cooking on a hot plate. Man, they ain't got nothing. They ain't got nothing. But you know what? God's not a judge. He don't respect people. He's no respecter of persons. He don't care. For whosoever will, He don't care. He don't care. He don't care where you've been, what you've done. He don't care. He could care less what you've done in your life. How bad or how good, He don't care. There's just one thing He wants to do. And He don't care how you feel when He gets on you, neither. Can anybody give a witness to that? He don't care. He's a God that cares about your feelings. He cares less about your feelings. When He starts convicting you, He cares less about your feelings. You don't believe me, you ask me. When I needed to be saved that night, He put so much pressure on me, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I thought something bad was going wrong. And us, it's overweight. Y'all know what I'm talking about, man. I done got that crying. My wife wants to talk. I ain't got time to talk. I don't know what's going on. And she wants to know this question, bro. What's wrong? I don't know what's wrong. I don't have a clue what's wrong. She's like, why are you crying? I don't know why I'm crying. Are you okay? Nope. I can't answer that. I'm not okay. I look around the room. Ain't nobody doing nothing. Everybody's sitting there like a bunch of noddle logs. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nobody having a fit, and I'm sitting there thinking I'm about to die, and ain't nobody caring about me. And my old ticker, man, it's beating. I'm talking about my neck right here, boys and girls. That thing is, oh, my goodness, it's sore that night. And I thought, if that preacher shut up, I'm fixing to do something. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I got to get out of here. And when he finally come to that place, he said, if you don't know Jesus, what about tonight? And that spirit drawed me. I've never got over that, folks. 17 years, I've never got over it. I can't get over it. I'm just like him, boy. I didn't have nothing. I still don't have nothing. Didn't have nothing. But I'm so thankful that night he got on me, Brother Jerry. And he didn't care about my feelings. He didn't care how I felt. He said, I'm going to put it on that old boy because I love him so much. And son, he drugged me down that aisle. You say, oh, he don't drag. Oh, man, I'm telling you, he's hurting me so bad on the inside. I felt like a thousand-pound weight on me. I come to that altar. That spirit entered me. And what I went down with a ton of weight on my back, he elevated me. I come up free as a bird. Free. And now all I'm waiting on is my exit. That's all I'm waiting on. My exit. And I'm just going to tell people that Jesus loves them. And he's the way. But you got to do it a certain way. You can't do it your way. You can't do it a Baptist way. You can't do it like your mama and papa and all them other way. You got to do it the Bible way. The Bible says no, you can't do it. Ain't nobody asking your preacher. He can't give you confirmation on it. He can't tell you he can do it. The Bible says no, it's no. It's black and white. It's just simple. It's easy. But we complicate it so much. But these two witnesses laid their life down because they believed it that much. I want to ask you tonight, has that spirit ever entered you? And if it has, you ought to be one of the greatest witnesses that ever has been. One of the greatest witnesses ever have been. They ought to get tired of hearing you when you come around. Lord, be Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Father, I love you. And Father, I thank you for this night. I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost that's in this place. Father, I thank you that in the last 3 to 4 weeks, Lord God, you've done a work in my life. Lord, you know the valley that we all go through sometimes. And Lord, I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. Lord, I thank you for them valleys. Thank you for them dry times. Lord, I thank you for them times that you want us to just draw closer, and we're so dry and we're so thirsty, we just need a touch. We just need a little silk. And Lord God, when we get to that spout, you just don't give us a silk, but you drench us in it. And Lord, I thank you for that tonight. I thank you tonight, Father, for each and every person in this room. And Lord, I thank you tonight for the ones that's allowed the Spirit to come in. And Lord, they're not the same. They're different. Lord, old-timey different. What a compliment to say you're old-timey. Lord, I love you and I thank you. Bless your people tonight to be the witness you called them to be. In Jesus' name, amen.